Danny Satoff is a Twin Cities jeweler and artist, and he recently received a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board Artist Initiative for his work, Swinging the Compass, which focuses on the effects of climate change and also on Lake Superior climate change. The exhibit's going to be shown at the Grand Marais Art Colony starting February 20 through the 3rd of March, and he'll be in town to give a talk about that work on the 20th. In the meantime, he joins us by phone. Good evening, Danny. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you. How are you?
Well, just fine. And I tell you, my first question is, okay, so you're a jeweler and you're a relatively large installation sculptor. So how do you switch gears, Annie?
Oh, Kevin, you know, that's a good question. It's really hard to switch gears sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll go from making large scale work. It'll usually take me a bit of time to transition to making small scale work. But realistically, I'm using a lot of the same tools. In some regards, obviously, there's some different tools that I use, but there's a lot of the same tooling that goes into the work that I make on a large scale and on a small scale. The pieces have a tendency to be quite intricate. And with that intricacy, I'm using the same kind of tooling that I would use to make jewelry. So there's a little bit of time that I need to switch gears, but I can usually make that shift in a couple of days, hopefully.
Well, I did visit your website, and I did take a look. Your jewelry is fairly intricate. A good share of it is. Rings, earrings, necklaces, this sort of thing. But so is the larger work. And you term it as interactive, and while I'm just looking at still photographs of it, I can see where that interactiveness probably happens, because these are very detailed, very intricate, abstract in the sense that you're using a lot of different materials, mixed media, I guess. Anything in particular? There was one that looked like it was sheets of metal and others that had wood, this sort of thing. Have you got any particular mediums you work in, or is anything fair game?
Well, yeah, I guess anything's pretty fair game. You know, if I have a concept in my head, I'll usually source out materials that will work within the parameters of whatever it is I want to do. I used to use a lot of found objects in my work, both in the jewelry and in the sculpture. I've sort of stepped away from that a little bit. You probably were looking at some of the older work. If you were looking at my website, I'm a typical artist, and I'm not very good at keeping my website up to date.
Yeah, well, you're too busy making art.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Thank you for covering for me. But the found objects, you know, something that I used to do, and I enjoyed doing it, but now I've kind of gotten away from found objects as much. But even the pieces still have kind of a sense of history, and there's kind of an antique quality to them in some regard. They're kinetic. The sculptural work is kinetic. So, you know, there are moving parts, moving pieces, whether that be through the viewer, the person that's actually looking at the work, actually physically interacting with the work, which sometimes gallery owners kind of shy away from. They like the look but don't touch. But I actually encourage people to play with the pieces, or maybe not play, but interact with. But sometimes they're driven with motors. The piece that's coming to the Art Colony this next couple weeks is all motor-driven. So it will be kinetic. It will also be illuminated, and it will be driven by motors.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about illumination. I noticed that a number of the works that you have posted on your website deal with light. Is this one of the earlier things, or because obviously from looking at the poster that the Art Colony has, it is the work that you're bringing here is illuminated. How does that work in, and more to the point, how does that reflect on climate change?
You know, I'm not so sure that the light reflects on climate change necessarily. I'm fascinated by light, though. The pieces that I've been building recently in the past maybe five years, are very influenced by sailboats. I'm a sailor, so there's a lot of nautical reference in the sculpture that I do, as well as some of the jewelry, but not as much. But the sculpture is definitely inspired by boats and sailing and nature. And, you know, we have a sailboat up on Lake Superior, so I'm up there quite a lot. And so there's a lot of reference to that. And in the type of material that I've started using, you know, with wood and fabric, the fabric that I use is translucent, and it lends itself to internal illumination, so you get this really beautiful glow. So that's what you've seen on the website. That's what this piece coming to the Art Colony entails. I'm also really a big fan of disco balls, so there are a lot of disco balls in this piece too. So there'll be a lot of refracted light, and so that's kind of interesting. You know, it's not about disco balls, but they're part of the piece on the inside, so that makes it somewhat interesting.
Well, you just made my co-host Dave Terstik happy. He's also a sailor. And well, it's hard not to be, I guess, if you're up here on Lake Superior.
I think isn't it a requirement?
Well, not for me. I don't sail. I've been known to paddle a little bit, but then when
there
I get to a sail, I don't feel like I've got the expertise to. Well, I tried it once, you know, but let's not go there. let's talk a little bit about the whole concept of the environment and climate change and this sort of thing. What got you going on that? Is that a recent theme in your work, or have you always been interested in the interaction, I guess, of art and the environment?
No, I think, you know, I think we should all be aware of what's going on. As far as my work goes, I've always worked somewhat narratively. And in the beginning, when I was just doing jewelry, I would tell stories through jewelry, and then as I started branching out into sculpture, I started pushing the narrative themes into the sculptural work more. And when I started thinking about this project, you know, I had the spark of curiosity that started me on this path of creating these icebergs, if you want to call them that. That move and undulate as though they're floating on the surface of Lake Superior. When I pitched this to the State Arts Board for grant funding, I was looking to have a little more meat than it just being this kind of beautiful thing that celebrates this natural phenomenon that you see up there on the lake. And so I wanted to tie it to climate change. And so I started doing some research and started talking to some climate scientists and tried to find some metrics that I could use within the piece to kind of bind everything together. So that's kind of how I started getting interested in tying climate change to my work.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you're going to give a talk on the 20th at the opening. Is that going to be, you know, the artist talk or that artists do when they present their work? Or are you going to concentrate on, for example, the climate?
I'm going to do a little bit of both. You know, a typical artist talk, you know, you talk about yourself and what you do and all of those things. But, you know, climate change this piece is so much about climate change that I definitely want to focus on some things that are, and pinpoint some things that are happening and kind of highlight some of the research that I've found via some of these scientists that I've been talking to and partnering with. So it'll be a kind of a blend of, you know, just your typical artist talk about me and my work and share a little bit of that, and then get into the nuts and bolts of the actual project and the piece.
Well, talk to us a little bit about you and your work. How long have you been doing, how long have you been an artist?
Oh, you know, I've had my stops and starts. I graduated from college back in the early to mid-90s and moved to Colorado to be a jewelry designer and spent 8 years out there progressively just becoming more and more of a ski bum and reset my career by moving back to the Midwest. And I'll talk about that and that pathway because it is kind of a weird, random course from getting from being a ski bum to an artist again. I'll talk about that in the artist talk. But it's been kind of a winding road to get here.
I noticed that in the jewelry, which is quite sculptural in the sense that it's not. Some of it looks like, well, frankly, it might be difficult to wear. How do you address that? Because a lot of it is quite angular, sharp corners. Looks like little piles of metal sticks and these kinds of things. This is not something that it looks to me like this is what you're designing is a visual event for the body.
Well, they're not as uncomfortable as they may look. I always let my wife test drive the pieces. If I don't test drive them, my wife is test driving them for me to make sure that there aren't any sharp corners or edges. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are very sculptural. And I think they've become more three-dimensional and more sculptural the more I've become a sculptor. I mean, I was a jewelry designer first. And the sculpture really grew from my roots as a jewelry designer. So the more I was able to explore three-dimensional space, the more my jewelry became even more three-dimensional. And I also teach, and that's one of the things that I try to instill in my students is that, you're working in a very fluid medium. Metal is something that can... You can really push dimension, and I think that's missed in a lot of cases by a lot of artists that work, in jewelry. They do feel that it needs to be very diminutive, and it can't be real big and expressive because people actually wear it on their body. The gallery for jewelry is on the body, and so because of that, it has to flow and it has to be ergonomic. So I really do try to make an emphasis to make sure that the work is wearable.
Did you, when you translated your work from jewelry to much larger venues, what was that like? I mean, what prompted you to, of course you do both, but at some point you had to do something big, and how much of a challenge was that?
Well, like I said, it really stems from making jewelry, and realistically, it goes all the way back to my work as a found object artist. So I started working with found objects in the jewelry, and then you'd inevitably find things, found objects that are too large to actually incorporate into a piece of jewelry, so what do you do with that? So I kind of gave myself permission to start working on a different scale and for a different venue. And so the gallery is the body, and for sculpture and three-dimensional objects, the gallery is, the space, three-dimensional space. So whether that's a room, a gallery space, and, an art gallery. So it was a little bit of a shift, but I think that's how I got started. It was definitely coming out of my jewelry work.
Well, what about now? Is what we're going to see at the Art Colony pretty indicative of where you are now with your art, or have you got someplace else to go?
Well, this is as of 3 weeks ago. I was still working on this piece, so I'm actually in the mode of shifting gears a little bit. So the past couple of weeks, I have been making more jewelry. I haven't been doing that for quite a while. The past year and a half has really been a whirlwind. I was commissioned by the Twin Cities International Airport to do a large scale installation for a new concourse at Terminal 2, and so that's what I was have been working on, all of last winter, and then shifted gears and started focusing on this project. And in between there, I built a boat, which is actually part of this project too. So, I'm actually looking forward to kind of working small again. And the beauty of working on both scales is that, after making sculpture, which takes some time to create, it's nice to shift gears and make jewelry again where you can make two or three pieces in a day. So there's something, when you want to get that quick burst of, I want to finish something in a relatively short amount of time. It's nice to be able to do that.
What's it like to design a piece for an airport concourse? I mean, that's a big open space. Are we talking about a fairly large piece here, I assume?
Yeah, the piece, I think it ended up being about 90 to 100 feet long and 30 feet wide. And the way that I walked into the space when it was still under construction, And, you know, they told me, they showed me the area. They said, here, this is where your piece is going to go. And I hadn't even conceptualized what I was going to do at that point. And, you know, that's a scary proposition. But what I did in order to make it feasible is, you know, I use repetition a lot as a design feature. So I decided rather than making one big thing, I'd make 24 smaller things and hang them from above. And that's how I filled the space. So I was working, you know, I compartmentalized the work. So I was working, I was able to construct things on a relatively easy scale and not have to think about it as one large installation.
Well, I must say before I let you go that in looking at a non-moving representation of the piece that you're bringing up here on swinging the compass, but your explanation of it, the motorization of it, and this kind of stuff, it is so timely because we have ice floating around on Lake Superior right here in the harbor. People are going to be able to view your work and then walk out and see the concrete from the abstract because it's going to look a lot like that.
I hope so.
So I want to wish you luck, and it's been great talking to you. We've been speaking with Danny Satoff. He's a Twin Cities jeweler and artist, and he's going to be here in Grand Marais with Swinging the Compass at focuses on effects of climate change on Lake Superior. Check out the Art Colony's website because they've got a great photograph of it, and you're going to see something that looks familiar, floating ice, and but in a far different format. And I hope that lots of people come and enjoy that. If they want more of Danny's work, he does have a website. It's SAATHOFF, and just Google it and you'll go right there with all kinds. It's a great website with all kinds of examples of his work, recent and previous. And thank you very much, and I hope we get a chance to meet you on the 20th of February.
That would be great. Thank you very much.